Evening and welcome to our first of the month meeting of the Catskill Town Board. We have some both old and new business this evening, so I'll begin with a chair will entertain a motion to accept the minutes of the following meetings: the department head meeting on June 2nd, the public hearing number 5 on June 7th, the town board monthly meeting on June 7th, the government operations meeting on June 14th, the town board committee meeting on June 15th, two bid openings, one on June 17th and one on June 27th. Motion to accept the minutes. Mr. Giordiano, second. Mr. Vosburgh, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are accepted. Department reports. We have the shelter report. This comes in from New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets. It's our municipal shelter inspection report for the Columbia Green Humane Society. And they have received a dog shelter services rated as satisfactory. No comments were listed on the report. They passed in all areas. Monthly code report?
In the town clerk's office.
In the town clerk's office, it is available. Highway award bid for the truck is... from Lacey. This letter shall serve as our bid to the town of Catskill for one 2017 one-ton pickup truck, single rear wheel, four-wheel drive, gas, with the attached specifications. Bid price shall also include a Fisher 8-foot 6-inch stainless V plow and undercoating. Delivery time shall not exceed 120 days. Bid price $33,510. And a thank you from John Amerling of Fleet Sales to thanking the town board, town clerk, and highway department for allowing them to participate. That was the only one we received, correct, Liz?
Yes.
And we have looked at this versus the state, correct?
Well, this is riding off, Jared would be able to explain it better than I, but the municipal, it's riding off of state bid.
Off of state bid, and it's a pass-through?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And our action on this, Liz, at some point?
We need to accept it.
We need to accept the bid. And do we do that now, or do we wait until... We can do it now?
If you like.
I make a motion that we accept the bid from Marcy Lacy's for $33,510 for the pickup.
A second.
Second by Mr. Vosburgh. Any commentary from Mr. Beers? You good?
I'm good.
Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Any... Okay.
I would like to see a state bid.
I'll comment. I pulled out some prices I have at the shop on current state bids, better equivalent to it, and they're right there with the same price. I understand your concern, by all means. And I had a piggyback bid that was $5,000 more, which I could have bought without going through anything. And to be honest, it was actually the truck I wanted, but, you know, and I just got this one for $5,000 less, and I was very happy with the price. And I did do the shopping around just to try to work easy a little bit, you know, to ease your mind at it.
But again, Sean, I know you shopped it. I'm not questioning that you did. But they did not submit a bid like Lacey did. Lacey submitted a bid. You put a non-collusion paper in there, and that's the way the bids go. I mean, we only got one bid, and you said that other people quoted prices.
Yeah, I quoted prices, and
so it makes the bid. It really makes the bid. I mean, you can't compare the other prices because they didn't put it in writing.
But again,
I just can't believe...
You can't force these people to put it in a bid.
I know that, but I can't believe, with 38 years' experience I have in the automobile business and all the biddings that I've done over the years, that a dealer could beat state bid. I just don't believe it.
Well, they could choose to meet...
I would be the same boy as you if I didn't see it myself. I was extremely shocked with it, and I'm definitely not arguing your point.
So in terms of other dealers, this was in the paper for the appropriate amount of time, correct? So no other dealers, no one else submitted a bid other than R.C. Lacey.
Correct.
The state price is, I'm assuming, online somewhere? On their all of their pricing?
Yeah, it depends how I, with the options. And I have prices that are very close with less options.
All right.
I mean, I can show them to you. I don't have them with me at the time. All right.
That's all we need. For backup. If anybody questions it, you have your backup.
So the only thing that I would like is just the backup. I think the vote here is going to carry it through, but we could put the backup in the file as we move forward. All right? Is that all right with you?
I abstained, Liz.
And Jared abstained. Okay, so we're going to move forward with the request that we just have the follow-up information on the pricing. We have a request from the town of Greenville, which is consistent with the request that they made, I think it was 2 months ago, to use our spare ambulance, and this is for an event on July 10th. Did he give you a copy of that? If not, he gave it to me.
No, not yet.
Okay. I think he gave it to me. Somewhere. Did he email it to you?
Okay, you did. You did.
No, this is a memorandum of agreement. Well, it's identical to the one we did the last time. No, it's upstairs. I think I left it in my office. Unless you can find it. In which they would use it for an event on July 10th. I will circulate it as it's identical to the one that we had before. Entertain a motion that we pass a resolution to support the use of the ambulance for the town of Greenville.
I'll make the motion.
Mr. Giordiano?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. McAuliffe. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And this was put forward with the reapproval of Jared. Or excuse me, George June, director of the ambulance. Motion is carried. Planning. Draft solar law?
Yes, the planning board has finished its review of the draft solar law or our code. And you have copies of it, and now it's in your hands to review it. To do whatever you'd like with it, attach it to our code, modify it, hold a public hearing, send it back to us, whatever the board would like to do.
Okay. So the board did receive the draft copy. Everyone received it and reviewed it. I know that there was some input that Chairman Izzo factored in, both from our code officer and I believe from other members of the planning board. Any other observations from the board? Generally in agreement with the draft? My observations were it was complete and took into account both the large-scale solar groups that are coming in that are actively pursuing members of the community for large parcels of property, but also addressed the individual homeowner who wants to do something also. So our next step, if I'm not mistaken, is to conduct a public hearing. Would we like to establish the timing for that tonight?
Do we have enough time to do it before our workshop meeting, Liz?
Yes.
I make a motion we schedule a public hearing for 6:15 the night
of...
We
have a bond public hearing. Right? Okay. That's
fine. We can start at 6.
6:15, is it? You sure?
Yes.
6:15 at time wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. On 7:20.
Correct.
Correct. So we'll have two public hearings that night. One will be the bond for the ambulance, and the other one will be the
local law for
passing of a solar law within the community. Second on that motion?
Sure.
Mr. McAuliffe, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. At 6:15 on...
No, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Will be
6. Yeah. I'm sorry. What was the 6:15?
The bond.
That's the bond.
Sorry. Oh. 6 o'clock. Okay. All right. All in favor. Did we do that?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Motion is carried. Thank you. Yikes. And our thanks to the planning board. That was well done, and it felt painless, maybe not for you, but it was well done, and we thank you very much.
Kind of held up, but
yeah, well,
finished it.
Exactly. We have members of the community who are going to appear before the board, but they're not here. So did we confirm with Renee? Do you know?
No, but they called last week. And
they did call.
With me for the date. Didn't
That's
I?
What I thought. Mm-hmm. Okay. We may have to tap on... and Mr. Harvey, I know, is en route, but may take a little bit of time tonight. Yeah, I'll skip to correspondence and we'll hope that we can fill in some time here. Can you text Renee and find out if he's coming? I just want to confirm the timing. Okay, Greene County Pop Warner. Like to ask the community. This is March.
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't received in March. It was.
Just recently.
At the desk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Greene County Pop Warner Football and Cheer League would like to ask the community of Friends for a nonprofit, a donation to their organization. Their sports budget in Greene County is not adequate enough to cover the full amount of our team's expenses. This year, we turn to the community and our extended family to ask for support. Welcome any comments or questions regarding the details of your sponsorship. I'm looking for history from you guys. Is this something that we have done traditionally, or have we not? I'm kind of a newbie.
I don't recall them ever approaching us for money before.
Okay.
How much are they... Do we have anything left in our celebrations budget?
No. I'll have to smoke.
Oh.
Well, we have the Kiskatom Fire Department that we're committed to supporting their celebration.
Right.
And then we did have two firework displays.
Right.
Let me have a conversation. There may be several other sources of income. Let me follow up with Coach.
Does it
say what they're... No, there's nothing here. I welcome any comments.
Confirm to the Wayne Spoonberg.
Well, there's that, and also the Greene County, the Bank of Greene County also.
You can also look at the budget if we have anything left.
Yeah, let's take this under advisement. We'll take a look at it. It's just that it doesn't touch the entire community, so it's a little hard. But there's a couple of other sources. Maybe we can help them. So we'll have the follow-up conversation with them. The Mountain Housing Development Corporation is soliciting applications for Greene County Home Improvement Program. And this is a program that helps repair existing owner-occupied single-family homes. They can do repairs. They can extend the life of a home, improve energy conservation, asking to refer any eligible households to us. Only single-family homes may receive assistance. And everything has to be up to date, insurance, mortgage, taxes, and you have to be income qualified. So we're going to post this on our website, or have, and it looks like one of our folks that was going to present tonight is not going to be able to make it because it didn't make it to their calendar. Renee, it didn't make it to Renee's calendar, so we'll have to reschedule. We'll look for him on the 20th. Technology. Instantaneously, we found out he wasn't coming. Let's see, what else do we have? Copy of the permit from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation on Lehigh Northeast Cement Company. That's just a renewal, I believe. And then the State of New York Office of the Attorney General actually is putting out a solar brochure. So we can order these, I believe. And Chairman Izzo will give you this copy and you can take a look at it.
Thank you.
Let's see what else we have. Greene County Transit. We actually heard from Greene County Transit residents of Palinville. They came up and made a presentation. Adults, a daily pass on this is $3. It covers just about all of Greene County, makes 12 stops. Someone can come in from Caro, get to the Price Chopper, get back, etc. They are looking to grow this and expand it, but they did leave us information, and we urge anyone who is interested in using transit other than your own vehicle. This is an ambitious enterprise. It is www.greencountytransit.com, and it is funded and operated by ARC of Ulster Green. So if you see little vans, good-looking vans, that is who it is.
I wonder if they can make the senior center a stop.
They're absolutely interested in stopping anywhere, so if that is something that we would like to let them know, because it looks like they go to mental health on West Bridge Street, Dutchman's Landing seasonally, Catskill Senior Nutrition.
Oh, that's us.
Ah, then that's you.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of the Meals on Wheels being from there. Okay, absolutely. So they're there. The AM run is 9:20, and there's a midday run at 11:20 and another one at 1:25. So looks like that is in their list. Yes.
Oh, it does.
Mm-hmm. Be happy to leave you with this. We have other copies if you'd like to take a look. But yes, Green Medical Arts is on there.
Oh, like some of our tenants could probably.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're welcome to have this copy. And
I'll make you a copy, or I'll email it to you. It's on our website also.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Great. We also. As those of you who have attended in the past, we are in the process of applying for a grant, an efficiency grant for us to take a look at some of our services, one of them being our code enforcement, and we have received from every single fellow office holder, from our senators and our assembly and state senators, and also from our local county government, all have sent letters of support that we have been able to enclose with our application, so we are pleased to have worked with all of our fellow office holders in pursuit of this grant. The grant needs to be submitted on July 29th, and we should get some feedback on it. Restricted highway. We've received a notice that we have a restricted highway. Is that it?
New York State DOT.
Oh, okay.
23A slope repair.
Got it. Ah, slope repair project. Got it. On Route 23A. Said designation expires on August 31st. So there will be some single lane or no lane. Yeah. We also got a thank you from the town of Hunter regarding the Mountain Jam and the Taste of Country Music Festival. And that is sincere thanks to us and our ambulance squad for their participation in the two music events. So we know that they attract thousands, and our ambulance squad has done a great job of being on duty and on standby at that event. So we accept their thanks. And then we have two things that we would like to... The board has been provided a copy of the mass gathering, the proposed mass gathering permit that we undertook, in which we had our first invitation for a mass gathering, a concert to be held in Labor Day, which led us down a path of perhaps we should have something formal in writing. We have a proposed draft that we did distribute to everyone, and there are a couple of things that input is required on. The number of people, what do we think a mass gathering means? In order to put it in the permit, we can look at others, but in reality, it's when do you really want to have
Patrick being our emergency management guru, what would you consider a mass gathering? Over 500?
No, I think 500 is too.
That's too low.
Yeah.
Over 1,000?
Over 1,000 people. I mean, how many people at the Rectangle Country Club for the fireworks?
Lots.
Right.
Same thing with the fireworks.
That, right. Right. Well, then every Thursday night we'd be applying.
Well, we were at 800.
800 at the,
right.
Yeah.
So I think 1,000 or over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
999.
1,000 sounds like a good number.
Even with George's experience, that might be.
Yeah.
He knows more about the public health than I do, but even 1,000 might be too.
So why don't we assume, let's pursue 1,000, and Paul, could you check with the sheriff folk, see if 1,000 sounds right to them, and then...
They have no concerns about this
event, Labor Day, no, I know.
And that's capped at 1,000, right?
Right, yeah. And let's just reach out to George and ask him if 1,000 sounds all right. This is going to have to go before a public hearing and the like, but this is what... our attorney had asked that I get board input on. Section 4A and B. That's the memorandum of agreement. I knew I had it. 4A. No applicant shall hold or promote by advertising or otherwise a mass gathering unless a permit has been first issued by the town clerk. No person shall use, allow, lease, or otherwise permit to be used property for a mass gathering unless the town clerk first issues a permit. Consistent with the numbers, right? But other than that. So this would be a requirement before anybody can have anybody in a place more than 1,000. Is it reasonable to all? Mm-hmm. You're right.
And then for
mass gathering,
how many weeks?
Under New York State laws.
4B, right?
In order to trigger public health facilities, under New York State law, is any gathering greater than 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So your mass gathering law would have to at least up to 4,999. But then you would have to, because after that it falls under your state law.
Yeah. Right, right.
And that would require public facilities, emergency services,
mm-hmm.
Ambulance services, police services. So that's just food for thought.
Mm-hmm. So between the 1,000 and the 5,000.
Yeah, so you just put it 1,000 to 4,999.
For our
permit.
Greater than anything 5,000, or less.
Oh, that would be a different way of wording it, yeah.
That's your take.
Mm-hmm. And then the application for a permit shall be submitted on forms furnished by the town and shall be submitted to the town clerk at least. How many prior months would you like?
I'm going to say 3 or 4.
3 or 4 months.
Because in the application, I think that whoever it's held, the fire chief should sign off on it, that they know about, the ambulance should sign off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe GCSO or SP Casco should sign off.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO.
Okay. Which I think is listed in the... minutia of this mass gathering that I would agree. Let's have you take a look at that portion and make sure that there's everything that you just referenced. Because we're going to get a packet from this group, even though they're a smaller group. We're going to ask them for a packet so it details all of their interactions with fire, police, ambulance.
Their insurance.
We're going to ask to get a copy of their rider. So we'll learn from that one. So
yeah,
three
application
to
so we require signature sign off from New York State Police or the Green. Well, this is and the Green. It should be either or, but
yeah. We also want to make sure that those organizations that we word this so that they are consultants on this as opposed to holding final decision. Same with the emergency group. I think that group too. We want it in a consultative capacity.
Well,
so
that's just more of a common courtesy.
Exactly.
You're duly notified that this is happening.
Exactly, and be happy to have you review that material. So 3 months? Say 3 months?
Yeah. 3 months is
you can always make an exception if
something pops up.
Right.
Was 3 months okay?
Sure.
Section 7 is regarding liability insurance. Is there a blank in there? I'm looking for the.
That's $1.2 million.
$1.2 million.
He's got it in italics.
Oh, okay. All right. No permit shall be issued unless the applicant shall furnish the town with a comprehensive liability insurance policy, insuring the town against liability for damage to person or property with limits of not less than $1 million or $2 million. So the question is, do we believe it should be $1 million or $2 million? Or what do we believe is adequate for bodily injury or death and limits of not less than $1 million for property damage to save the town harmless?
Probably should be 1.5, 3. Because I do 1, 2, 2 down there.
Ah, okay.
Obviously, yeah, for mass gathering, 1.5, 3.
I think perhaps the other thing we should do is reach out to our
insurance company.
To our Marshall and Sterling people.
Because, I mean, $1 million for property damage seems more than added. I mean, the only person they'd be covering for property damage would be the person holding the event, which, of course, the person holding the event's going to want, the property owner's going to want proof of insurance from the people, too.
Right. So how about we put a pause on that one, Liz, and we'll reach into our representative at Marshall and Sterling and get some guidance. I think it needs to be higher than that, but I also don't know. Do we know what they're carrying for the event in Labor Day? Okay. So we'll get some follow-up guidance on that. And then whether or not we want to obtain any kind of fees. So, for instance, if we do have our code officer go out there.
$100.
I was going to say $250. if you're having a gathering of over 1,000 people, you're making, you know.
Yeah. So a $250 to cover any fees incurred by the town in assessing.
Right, it's a lot of time taking.
Any lawyer.
Yeah.
Right.
Anything that a lawyer, you know, that fee. So it would basically include the CEO and his staff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
$250.
Okay. So that was the input that was needed on this. We also need to ensure there was an application that Paul Vosburg got from Durham that was an example of an application. We now need to make sure that example of application matches the actual permit.
I didn't print that out yet.
No, I have it, but we can work on that. And then I would say that we bring this forward at our departmental meeting on Thursday. And
I got a question about Section 6, Subdivision D.
D.
Unless authorized by the town board, permit holders should not allow any persons to possess any firearm or other weapon at mass gathering other than law enforcement officer or security personnel. I don't know if that's...
I have an issue with that, but
I don't know if that's something that we, as a town, that would be more of the property owner. I don't know if the town has the authority to
Right. So you can't bring your...
I don't know.
Unless it's a village park or a town park.
But even then...
On private property, I don't know.
What if it's a gun shop?
Well, we can't supersede state law. So whatever state law is, unless the private property owner wants to do something, right? So let's put a question mark next to that one, and I'll follow up, and we'll bring this to the table again Thursday at our departmental review. What if it's a gun show? Okay. Any other items? Alcoholic beverage other than beer at the Mass, unless they possess a New York State liquor license.
Wine?
Yeah, I mean, again, this has to be consistent with what New York State requires to get one of those temporary permits.
Right, because you still need a temporary for beer and wine anyway.
Yeah, can you put a question mark on that one?
Sure.
Town of Greenville has a local law for mass gathering.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we looked at Durham's, but we'll take a look at Greenville's, too, and see if... Okay.
Nice thing about Durham, they have the big bluegrass festival, so they have a working model.
Yeah, Durham had Oak Hill, or what is it, Gray Fox?
Gray Fox.
Sorry.
Gray Fox.
So we kind of followed that for things that we thought were about the size we were thinking of. But I think we found a couple of good catches. Let's take one more look at it between now and Thursday, see if there's anything else you see. And then we'll follow up with Michael. And can I have a copy of what you just took of notes? Mm-hmm. Okay. Continuing business. We were going to have Renee Van Schaik from the IDA come and update us on Exit 21 project, but we miscommunicated on timing. So we will reschedule that, but we have Mr. Harvey here from Palinville, and he was out of town the last time we had this discussion, so we thought it might be helpful. There was a couple of questions that the board members had regarding the town's engagement. So, Mr. Harvey. No, you're okay. You were just on time.
This retirement thing's a little tricky.
Every day's a Saturday.
Every day. He's got too much to do.
Whatever questions you have regarding the swinging bridge, I know we had a meeting before I left. We talked about the swinging bridge, about the town, and about where we were with the acquiring the easements. We need two easements. One from Dan on the south side of the bridge and one from Pine Grove on the north side of the bridge. And Dan is willing to sign off on that. I prepared the descriptions for both easements and maps for that. And we give them to Ted Hosher. Ted Hosher has been in communication with Mike. I thought Mike would be here today. Regarding that and about what the terminology and things and language and the agreements. Once the our only reason to have the town, there's a few different reasons we've talked about numerous times over the last few years, is about liability insurance, about taking the easement in the name of the town of Catskill from 23A down across over the bridge to Mill Road. And liability insurance, and then also. It's about the maintenance. I don't know if that, I guess maybe the maintenance is the issue here, the concern, or whatever. The regular maintenance can be done by the group that we put together is going to construct the bridge. The town of Catskill doesn't have to pay to construct the bridge or repair the bridge. We're not going to construct the bridge, we're going to repair the existing bridge like I did by the hurricane. And so what has happened is. But the important piece here is that we have to stay on top of, and we have to get straightened out, is that for if we ever have another event like this, which ultimately we probably will have, we don't want to have to ever go through this process again. That's where the town of Catskill comes in. So if the town of Catskill is the the grantee of the easements and takes control of the bridge and the easements to it, then we can apply for FEMA. We can get FEMA funding to repair if it ever goes down again. This is like the third,
fourth bridge. Yes.
This would be the fourth repair of the swing bridge. So people of Poundville have always gotten together, repaired it, fixed it, put it back up. But this last one was pretty catastrophic, you know, I agree. And so it's important that we don't have to go ever through this again. So the easements allows us to do that, accomplish that, and then they've been the town of Catskill. And also, the town taking control of the bridge allows us to apply for FEMA funding to repair the bridge if it ever happens again. That's basically it. And it gets a state, and it gets a state and the feds money come flowing to the bridge. Basically, that's it.
That was the, one of the questions was around the maintenance. Yeah. So the day-to-day filling of a slat, right.
We have a group that, and we can put language. Ted has talked to Mike about that, that language, about putting that language in there, mm-hmm. that the local community would be responsible for repairing planks and pavement or whatever, routine maintenance.
Right.
Routine maintenance. But catastrophic or something where it goes down, or a big tree comes down and takes it and wipes it out and rips the cables off it.
Right.
And we need FEMA, we need CMO to get on board with that, to put it back. But they won't do it if it's a private entity. Right. It has to be a public entity.
Yeah, just to that point, we can't apply since we're not a municipality or any we have no status to apply for.
Right.
So what we're asking is that the town take that responsibility,
take that role.
Right.
And I also want to add that within Poundville and Hamlet, the committee, we do have a swimming bridge fund. And so if you're talking about a random board or a tightening or any sort of a routine maintenance, that's already in place.
Okay. Were there any other questions as a result of that discussion?
I think Sean had some, right? Winter, right? Was that one of your concerns? Who was shoveling it, plowing it?
Yeah, what would happen in winter?
It would be the same group of people would go down there and clear it off and whatever.
Yeah. So, you know. I mean, we're always willing to help as much as we can, but some stuff is just, you know what the best position you can always guarantee.
No, absolutely. That would be
on top of it.
So. The group, this core group would be handling stuff like that. I mean, if we got to where, I don't know, we had a big pile, we couldn't get rid of it, we had it piled up over a series of storms or something, we might ask the town to come while up there to, you know, knock it out of the way or something like that,
yeah,
but nothing.
Yeah.
What if the group goes out of existence?
Panama's been in existence for a long time.
Panama has, but the group hasn't.
And the core group?
The bridge has been maintained for 120 years.
That's right, 120
years. Yeah, I understand that, but
this is documented.
Listen, there are good intentions in it, and a lot of people come to the plate, they work hard, and they do what they say they're going to do, and then after a while, they kind of go away because of age or another interest, and another group doesn't come up, and then the project then goes back into disrepair. And then you're back again to the same situation that you're in now. And then would that obligate the town of Catskill to maintain and repair the bridge?
Well, we're pretty optimistic about the
future. Well, you didn't answer my question, Gary.
And I said the same thing applies to the Poundville Cemetery Association. That's a rural cemetery.
That's
We've
correct.
Had that discussion.
The town takes it over. That's by state. That's by state
right.
law.
But that's not going to happen because
but that's but taking over bridges isn't anything under state law. What I'm saying is, is the town going to be liable for repairs and maintenance to the bridge? That's my question. Not whether you have volunteers to, you know, do the work and buy the materials for it. What I'm saying is the town and council is going to be liable for a bridge that is on private property does not belong to the town of Catskill? And would that be something that the town of Catskill would be liable for? Would the citizens of the town of Catskill be liable for the maintenance and repair of the bridge? I'm not saying that's not good or bad. You know, if that's what it is, that's fine. But I think the board up front should know that. Should know that before they... If the board wants to accept that responsibility, then they obviously can. And, you know, they're... And I'm sure Palinville would love it. And people out there have been working a long time to get the bridge repaired. But I just don't want, you know, something to happen and then, you know, 2 years from now, the board says, well, you know, we didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, and that was the purpose of tonight's meeting, to get some of these things out on the table. Mr. Davis?
Could I recommend that we, as long as we're going to be working on the agreement with Michael, that we put specific language in it as to what we're asking for, which is that the board, in the event of a catastrophic loss of the bridge, would take municipal responsibility for approaching the state and federal government for funding to repair it. In the meanwhile, the citizens of the town of Catskill will not be responsible for the maintenance of the bridge, which would avoid the issue that you're talking about, Joe.
Yeah, so we just put language in there that potentially says if the board is in agreement that we're the Palinville the Hamlet organization to no longer be functional, the town of Catskill assumes no responsibility other than as stated.
It's my understanding that Ted, who is the attorney working on our behalf, has communicated that with Michael Smith,
okay,
the town attorney, regarding that specific language.
Okay.
So
I don't have a copy of that. I don't know what it says, actually.
So in essence, the town is a conduit,
yes,
only for funds.
Correct.
Exactly. For correct. Federal state.
Or
state.
Or
any funds.
Right. Well, and the original agreement that was made last year with the previous board was around liability insurance. And this is consistent with,
yes,
the Wyndham approach to the Wyndham Path.
Right.
Which the Wyndham Path has several little nooks and crannies that go over creeks and the like. And
will this group purchase the bridge? It's not owned by the group, right?
No.
It is owned by Mr. May not be owned by anybody.
No,
but
no, it's not really.
I mean, it's on two private pieces of
that's
property.
That's right. That's correct.
The bridge itself is actually on one piece
that's
of property.
Right. It's on Dan Sousa's on the south side.
But he doesn't own the bridge.
Yeah, the bridge is on his property, so technically he probably does.
Both sides.
Right, but the access and the north abutment, the back half of the north abutment, is on the Pine Grove property.
So he would have to give permission.
That's what we're talking
that's
about.
Part of
that's
this discussion is that we would accept responsibility for the two easements.
Right. Two easements.
Which would involve the liability, but then there would be additional information that we are not plowing it, we are not maintaining it,
right,
but we would be the conduit for application for federal and town and state relief.
Right. Yeah.
As far as the south, how big are the easements?
It'd be 15 feet wide. 7.5 feet.
So now they have to like make a pocket park or anything in addition.
No, well, there is a Dan Sousa has indicated that his willingness to make a little pocket park on the Mill Road side. Yes, so we may in fact add to that on the south side, on the Mill Road side, a little pocket park type of thing with a bench or whatever.
Yeah, I mean the bridge wall and getting,
yep,
that back is, you know, it's nice,
I mean,
but if we could incorporate,
right,
it into where,
yep,
adding a,
yep,
park area or something.
And Dan is, he's in favor of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we need to get this resolved first before,
right,
that's the next step.
So, Gary, I know you dealt with FEMA in the past. But with FEMA, if the town doesn't actually own the bridge, then us being involved isn't going to help.
If there's language with control of the, that's what we have to talk to Mike about, and to make sure that there's language in there that takes care of that. That's what Ted and Mike have to talk about that and get the specific language in there to do that, to make sure that happens. That's our main focus, is to make sure that happens.
Right, because if that's not in there, then
no,
us being a part of it.
No. That's got to be in there.
Have they put the bridge on the historic register, Gary?
No. But we have an application and stuff. We'd like to do that, pursue that. But we need to get this all resolved first before we can do that. We have a few steps and hurdles we have to get over here. This is the biggest one to get over right here.
So I think the next step is the drafting of the agreement for the board to review. Yeah. I'll catch Michael up. I thought he was going to be here tonight, too, but I didn't have a direct conversation with him either. We lost him and Renee tonight. But next step would be the agreement. You'd be interested in seeing the agreement? Everybody all right with that? And then express any other concerns?
I mean, I see it as a plus as far as its proximity to the Long Trail.
Yeah.
And perhaps increasing tourism.
That's another issue, a point that comes afterwards, once we secure this, is that Palenville is one of only two towns that the long path actually goes through, a 300-mile long path from New York to up to Albany. And Palenville is one of them. And so they're very interested in making the Swinging Bridge part of that long path.
Which may open up other venues of funding.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And so this is an opportunity for Palenville and the town of Catskill to really get on board with this.
Yeah. Has DEC expressed interest in
it? DEC, we're not getting permission. We're staying out of the water.
Stay out of the water.
Yes.
So don't fall off the bridge.
Our window is very short and small to get through here.
Yes.
But we are staying out of the water. But once we have secured the easement stuff, we'll give them a call, a DEC, a courtesy call, and get them on board, make sure we can. But with the understanding that we're out of the water, we're not going to get in the water.
It's a dry year.
It's a dry year. We'd like to take advantage of that dry season.
Understood.
Yeah, we have everything in place. The engineers, we have a set of plans, a simple set of plans to repair it. We have a contractor on board willing to do it for us. And so we're really ready to go. It's just we have one of the property owners has been very reluctant to cooperate.
Right.
So we have to pursue other avenues.
Person on the other side?
Yeah, on the north side. There you go.
Any other questions of Mr. Harvey? Any other comments from the panel on Bill Hamlet? So our next steps will be for Mr. Hilscher and Mr. Smith to get together and draft an agreement for the board to review.
I believe they have that or working on it or something.
Okay.
And I'll touch base with Ted. I'll try to get a hold of Ted tomorrow.
Okay. And I'll have a conversation with Michael
tomorrow.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Public comment. I can quiet the room, can I? And we're live, exactly. Going once, going twice. Public comment. All right. Our next meeting is on Wednesday, July 20th. We also have a departmental meeting on Thursday morning at 9:30. Both are open and public meetings. We thank everyone for their attendance this evening.
This morning at 2 o'clock, there were stretch firing leads, and I just want to commend the lead fire department on the job that they did.
Okay.
Very professional.
Excellent.
And just an update on the Orchard Ave issue. I sent Mr. Izzo and Mr. Zaboda my thinking of how this has to go. Did you get that email, Joe?
I did.
So it's a very weird situation, but we'll comment. You agree with me that it's weird?
Well, the property, that piece of property belongs to the town.
And the village, and a neighbor, and the community. It belongs to four different individuals.
Is that on the deed?
Yeah. And the village did this in 92.
They transfer the property to the owners?
Yeah. And because of the way they want to do it, they want to take it from a 240-foot section and make it 235 or 230, and they want to change the angle of it. So changing the angle of it is going to basically close the road down before somebody's driveway. Well, they're still in the village, and then half of the driveway's in the town. So it's going to move the line from being in the town all the way into the village at one end, and that's going to take it from the village to the town at another end. And cross so, another goal.
So it's a lot line adjustment.
Many lot line
adjustments. Many, at least three lot line adjustments.
All the same property owner?
No. One's the village, one's the town, one's the Coons, and then
the other neighbor.
I forgot the neighbor.
I can't remember the other neighbor's name, but. And we reached into
all the town and the village shouldn't be a problem with a lot line adjustment. It's getting the two neighbors to agree.
And the one neighbor has brought this to our attention with this as her recommendation.
Yep.
So she's in agreement. So there are three out of four that are in agreement. But the only way you can do it is if you take it in front of both planning boards. So that's where we've started. I don't know if anybody's talked to the fourth party.
Yeah. The planning board, the town planning board can do it on its own. That which reflects that portion of the town. The village planning board would have to hold their meeting and do the
right, but your lot line adjustment for what they're proposing is actually going to give more property to the village.
That's fine, as long as the town, if it's the town of Catskill's portion or portions that belong to the town of Catskill, town board has to pass a resolution granting that land to be annexed into the village, and then the village has to agree to accept it.
Right.
So that's a board issue. But until that's done, the lot line adjustment can't go through.
Oh, so this starts with the town board before?
Well, you got to, if there's a portion of property. I mean, we could do the lot line adjustment. It's not going to affect the property owners until that parcel that belongs in the town actually goes into the village. Because the village can't act on a lot line adjustment that's outside the village.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So either the first thing you do, well, you could do it all simultaneously. It doesn't have to be done one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
But the board actually has to pass a resolution.
Right, and another way they want to do this would actually leave the last 40 feet of Orchard Ave in the town, so then the town highway would have to pick it up, because the village will end right at the village line. Unless the village decides to keep on maintaining it.
Is it a road?
Yeah.
Is it a village road? Is it on our inventory?
It's on the town's inventory.
Town road inventory?
But we don't do anything.
Or we don't do anything.
The village does.
You can abandon the road.
Right. Well, yeah, that was one way. But to me, this is a neighbor.
I understand. Well,
because, I think the town would have to get a surveyor to find out exactly where property lines are. And the village would have to get a surveyor.
Right.
And then the neighbors would have to get a surveyor.
Yeah.
It's not just a simple, okay, I made my motion.
The town would be better off abandoning the road because it's you can't maintain it.
Right.
And once you abandon the road, then that issue of maintaining is gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's only 40 feet, it's not going to be.
Well, there's a driveway in between that though. Before the so where the village where it is now, person will lose access to your driveway.
And then you could deal with the village asking them to accept the 40 feet of road for village maintenance.
To annex that into the village.
Right. I mean, it's convoluted, but
yeah,
you can do it. Assuming one of the neighbors doesn't decide it.
Yeah.
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 The other road, Sean, that somebody sent in a note on was Foster, right? And you communicated with them.
Yeah, we're just about done with it.
Oh, great. Excellent.
Guardrails, shoulders, blacktop shoulders,
mm-hmm.
new pipes. Yeah. We're getting there.
Good.
So, yep.
Excellent.
The guys have said they received compliments on it. And so we're not done yet, but we're getting there.
Good.
So,
good.
that was a communication from a group, and I think they were very pleased with your prompt reply.
Yeah, so. Well, I'd spoke with numerous residents on the road prior, you know, to that letter, and time and, you know, manpower just kind of runs everything. So.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does. Good. Okay. One last go around on general comment. We good? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
By Mr. McCullough, second. Sorry. By Mr. Giordano. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you all for attending.